go home, said Vimes. I'm going to finish the job that's in front of me, and then I'm going home. That's what I'm going to do.
There are those that would say that if you are not for us, you're against us, said Madame.
For you? For what? For anything? No. But I'm not for Winder either. I'm not supposed to be for people, and I don't take bribes, not even if Sandra threatens me with a toadstool.
I believe it was a mushroom.
Oh, dear. The lady gave him a smile.
You are incorruptible.
Oh, dear, here we go again, thought Vimes. Why did I wait until I was married to become strangely attractive to powerful women? Why didn't it happen to me when I was 16? I could have done with it then. He tried to glare, but that probably only made it worse.
I've met a few incorruptible men, said Madame Mézerolle. They tend to die horrible deaths. The world balances out, you see. A corrupt man in a good world, or a good man in a corrupt one. The equation comes out the same way. The world does not deal well with those who don't pick a side.
I like the middle, said Vimes.
That gives you two enemies. I'm amazed that you can afford so many on a sergeant's pay. Please think of what you could be giving up.
I am, and I'm not going to help people to die just to replace one fool with another.
Then there is your door behind you, Sergeant. I am very sorry we could not
do business, said Vimes.
I was going to say, reach a mutually beneficial agreement. We are not very far from your watch house. I wish you luck.
She nodded towards the door.
Such a shame, she said, and sighed.
Vimes stepped out into the rainy night and shifted his weight from foot to foot, and then took a few experimental steps. Corner of Easy and Treacle Mine, a mix of flat-top cobbles and old bricks. Yeah. He went home. Madame stared at the closed door for a while and then turned as the candles flickered slightly.
You really are very good, she said. How long have you been here?
Havelock Vetinari stepped out of the shadow in the corner. He wasn't wearing official assassin's black, but loose clothes that were no real colour at all, just nondescript shades of grey. I've been here quite long enough, he said, sprawling into the chair that Vimes had vacated.
Not even the aunts noticed you.
People look, but don't see. The trick is to help them see nothing. But I think Vimes would have seen me if I hadn't been over here. He stares into shadows. Interesting.
He is a very angry man, said Madame.
You just made him angrier.
I believe you'll get your diversion, said Madame.
Yes, I believe so too. Madame leaned over and patted him on the knee.
There, she said. Your auntie thinks of everything.
She stood up.
I'd better go and entertain my guests. I am a very entertaining person. By tomorrow night, Lord Winder will not have many friends.
She drained her mug of champagne.
Dr. Follett is such a charming man, don't you think? Is that his own hair, do you know?
I have not sought the opportunity to find out, said Havelock. Is he trying to get you drunk?
Yes, said Madame. You have to admire him.
They say he can play a mean lute, said Havelock.
Fascinating, said Madame.
She set her face into a genuine smile of pleasure and opened the big double doors at the other end of the room.
Ah, doctor, she said, stepping into the haze of smoke. A little more champagne.
Vimes slept in a corner standing up. It was an old trick shared by night watchmen and horses. It wasn't exactly sleep. You'd die if you tried to keep it up for more than a few nights, but it took some of the tiredness away. A few of the other men had already mastered the trick. Others made use of tables or benches. No one seemed inclined to go home, even when a sort of dawn suffused the rain and Snouty came in with a cauldron of fearsome porridge. Vimes opened his eyes.
"Mug of tea, Sarge," said Snouty. "Stewed for an hour and two sugars."
"You're a lifesaver, Snouty," said Vimes, clasping it like the elixir of life.
"And there's some kid outside who says he's got to speak to him."
"Especially," Snouty went on. "Shall I give him a clip alongside the head?"
"What does he smell like?" said Vimes, sipping the scalding, corrosive tea. "Bottom of a baboon's cage, Sarge."
"Ah, Nobby Nobs. I'll go out and see him. Bring him a big bowl of porridge, will you?" Snouty looked uncomfortable about this.
"If you'll take my advice, Sarge, it don't pay to encourage kids like...
See these stripes, Snouty? Well done. A big bowl."